fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get three-pound packs of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $2.99 a pound with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Stardom Cast, a podcast where we talk all things about the fantastic, amazing, and spectacular professional wrestling company that is Stardom. Folks, we do it in a positive and what I like to think fun manner. I'm your host of this episode. My name is Matt Turner. Folks, welcome back once again to the Stardom Cast, but this is on the weekly feed as a bonus. The one and only my good friend, one Andy Hedder. Andy Hedder, how's everything going today in beautiful northeastern Pennsylvania? It's a gorgeous day we're having here today.
It is a very nice day, even though I have a little bit of a sore throat. The day is nice. I'm enjoying it. I actually cut the grass today, so how about that? It took me a whopping half hour. So
that may be the last grass cutting of the season, my man. I think that's it.
Yeah, I think it will be. Not that I have a big lawn by any means. I actually cut the neighbor's lawn, and she gives me $40. I would have took 20, but she's like, if you do mine, I'll give you 40. Okay.
So, folks, what Andy Hedder just said literally sums up our tag team, because there's so many times that promoters will reach out to us and how much money do you need? He will literally have us wrestle for gas money. And I'm like, no. You have to let me take care of the bookings, because I can definitely get us more money. He just wants to wrestle, sell our t-shirts, and have a good time. So That's Andy Hedder in a nutshell. He would literally do anything for anybody for next to no money, because he is a damn good person. And that's why he is the third man on the Stardom Cast. Yeah. We don't want any bad apples ruining this bunch. So,
Patreon exclusive here.
Yeah. Well, Patreon exclusive, but Andy Hedder, as we call him. Normal. But not this episode. Yeah, this would be your... This will be your second episode on the regular feed, correct? Because you did the live review of the 5-star finals, and then here we are, my man. A little bonus action. Now This is slated, of course, card subject to change. This is slated to come out later in the day on Saturday, August 5th. We are celebrating the return of Toni Storm to Stardom. Obviously, she's had a couple matches in Stardom, which we're going to get into just a few minutes. But obviously the big match that everybody's talking about is the match against Mayu Iwatani for the IWGP Women's Championship. So again, the idea is this to come out on the same day as what I'm sure is going to be an instant classic with Mayu versus Toni Storm for the IWGP Women's Championship. So that's what we're doing. We're just, we can't get enough Toni Storm love here on the Stardom Cast. And again, we're giving this out as a free bonus episode, as a thank you to our fantastic members of the Stardom Cast Army. Now, Andy Hedder, before we get into this World of Stardom championship run from Toni Storm. Toni Storm did come back to Stardom a little bit earlier than expected, which is awesome. So we've had two matches with Toni Storm. We had a tag match with her and Mina versus Mayu Iwatani and Izumi. And then just this past Wednesday, it was Toni Storm, Micah, and Mina taking on the team of Wingori, Hanan and Saida, and Mayu Iwatani. So what did you think of Toni Storm's appearances in Stardom and Timeless Toni Storm? This is a rocker Toni Storm. This is the new Timeless Toni Storm character. And what do you think of all these promos that she's doing? Now, before you answer that, We are a family-rated podcast, a G-rated podcast. So we may have to put a little disclaimer on here because we can't talk about the promos without talking about the promos. So we're going to be – we might tiptoeing into PG a little, but do your best to try to keep it as G-rated as possible, my friend. But, yes, what did you think of these matches and these wild promos that she's been doing, not only backstage but obviously the press conference of Mayu?
Yes, wild is – to put it lightly. But no, she doesn't really curse, so I think we should be able to skirt around and maybe give a couple lines for her promos.
Oh, you came back. You didn't see the you didn't see the backstage promo with her, Amina, and Micah then, did you?
I did not.
Oh, she calls Mayu, and I've got, of course, I'm not going to say it because she calls Mayu the F word and then the B word repeatedly. I will have to, I will tag you on Twitter once we are done with this. I had a whole bunch of people that sent me messages when the promo came out, and I tagged Rob and the Stardom cast saying that folks just be warned because the next podcast may have to be a little PG rated, but anywho, my man, yeah, I will tag you in that one, but go ahead, my man. What'd you think of the two matches? Yes. And then obviously the Stan Hansen promo.
I seen that one, and I seen the press conference obviously, and then the promo that she did where it was her and Mina, and then Mina's like, Mina, Tony, and Mariah, and she's like, who's that? Never heard of her. So that was funny. But yeah, I like that she is timeless Toni Storm. She's still goofy without being overly goofy or silly where it takes away from the matches, and they did keep the black and white thing, so even when she does her entrance, it's all black and white. They showed Mayu for the tag match, Mayu's in color, back to Toni, black and white. Even when they go to circle each other, they still it goes black and white, so they're both in the same picture. So that's really cool that they're keeping that. And the tag match I thought was really good. Not 4 stars, nothing must see, but it's cool that you get to see her, the timeless gimmick, in Stardom. And I like how they're handling Mayu's handling it like she's crazy now, and I'm trying not to get sucked into her crazy. So like Mayu's trying to be like, you know, the straight person here and not get into the world of Toni Storm. So the tag match was good. I just watched the 6-man last night, and I thought that was really cool, especially because Toni got them all to do the hip attack gyration, Rick Rude, and then do that all once. And then Toni got the pin there with the Storm Zero. So both matches have been good, and both in Kirk and Hall, if I'm not wrong. And I'm looking forward to Saturday, Toni versus Mayu for the third time now, right? So the first time, which we will talk about, Reed, wasn't a match, but I'm looking forward to it. I think that her matches have been good, but what's even better than the matches is probably the promos that she's been doing, and especially the press conference. I didn't see the one with Micah, but I will watch that immediately after this. But the line she said, she had two good lines. First, she said that she has thighs like Godzilla and flaps like Mothra, and when she wins that IWGP championship, she will crush Japan. So I like that line, and then, of course, the line that she said many years ago, I had a love affair with one Stan Hansen. And the part when she says, and what I found out was chewing tobacco on my back, which, if obviously everyone knows, Stan Hansen was always chewing, running out of his mouth, this kind of his gimmick. But then she said the best line about, and this was actually a good promo for being silly. She said, when you're in Japan, you're in their land. But when you're in the ring, they're in your land, which I thought that was, you know, it's pretty good. And then she said, and then he rolled me over and he gave me a lariat, but not with his arm. So, obviously, you know what that, we're not going to say what that entails, but you can figure that out. But timeless Toni Storm, I just think she's great. And when she throws in the little sexual digs and stuff there, like she told Mayu that she cannot wash her diaphragm. So if you know what a diaphragm is, like, oh boy. So yeah, I've been loving it so far. I'm glad she's back to Stardom. I'm glad she's not back just one match and done. She's done two matches and will be three matches, and who knows what else she'll do. So far, I think it's a great run.
Yeah, obviously we didn't talk about the Corkin show from Wednesday on the podcast because we recorded on Tuesday because Wednesday was my daughter's 20th birthday. So we didn't record that day, so we didn't get a chance to discuss. Obviously, we are going to discuss this unbelievably loaded pay-per-view that we have coming up on Saturday, and we're going to review the Corkin show as well. But I noticed, obviously, that match was – it's a little more of a teaser for Mayu and Toni for obvious reasons.
Yes.
But to me, and that was the best part of the match, and it was built around that way. They're the two stars. But for me, the exchanges with Hanan and Toni Storm were really, really good. And obviously, myself and Rob will get into it on the podcast next week. Toni Storm has been very open about that. You know, when her schedule opens up, she wants to come back to Stardom to do a few shots. And here we are. We're getting it. We're getting a lead up. We're getting press conferences. We're getting all that stuff. I wouldn't be shocked that after this match with Mayu, I mean, maybe this is wishful thinking, that we see a Toni Storm versus Han match somewhere down the line, because I think that'd be a terrific match and a really a feather in the cap of Han, who's having a terrific year. You know, she won the Cinderella tournament. She was just seconds away of defeating Soriano to win that Wonder of Stardom championship back at All-Star Grand Queendom. And she made it to the semifinalist. She was one of the four semifinalists in the five-star Grand Prix. So I think a Han versus Toni Storm match would really, really benefit one Hanan. And if Rob's stats are correct, which they usually are, that's the reason why he has written not one but two starter books. He said that Mayu has never defeated Toni Storm. So with that in mind, Andy Hedder, let's give us your little, and obviously myself and Rob, we did our little preview. And again, this is going to come out after the pay-per-view. So
we haven't watched it yet.
So we have not watched it, but obviously Andy wants to talk about this loaded pay-per-view. Obviously, myself and Rob, we did our full review, which is obviously up on our feed. But just give us a quick rundown of what you think of this pay-per-view. Obviously, with Mayu and Toni Storm, with Tam and Suzu, you know, the big matches. What do you think, and like, what are your predictions?
So let's go with right with Toni Storm and Mayu. I think it'll be good. And like you said, Toni or Mayu has never beaten Toni. I think this probably will be the time she beats her. I don't see Toni Storm winning. Maybe 25% chance, depending on Mayu's contract, if she's leaving or whatever. But I don't know if you give it to Toni, unless she's staying for maybe, like, she's taking a break from AEW for months. We don't really know. Nothing was announced. So, but I would say the safe bet is on Mayu retaining the IWGP Women's title. And then Tam versus Suzu, which should be really good. Their tag match on the Wednesday show or Tuesday show was pretty good. And leading, building up to that when they're brawling the crowd and everything. I would like Suzu to win, but I know she's not going to. So I don't see Tam losing here, especially because of the hot potato wing of the red title recently. So I think Tam's going to keep that. And then is Tekla Natsupoi match announced?
Yeah. Give your prediction on that, and then I want to know your what you feel about the angle they did at Cork and Hall with Clark Connors.
Okay, so I think that it'll be a good match, but I don't see Natsupoi losing here to Tekla. Tekla's been really hot. She's been on a good run. And that Clark Connors, the angle when he came out, and then Spears Natsupoi, which is the first time in Stardom where there's been male and female, like, New Japan interaction, I believe. I mean, maybe it's like Tanahashi obviously came out and talked, but I mean, not physical.
There, years ago, like, I think Minoru Suzuki was there, that match that Kenny Omega had with the girl that happened and started, but that wasn't like a Zoom or anything proper like that.
Yeah.
But it's been a really, really long time since they did that. Now, this may shock you, Andy. Wrestling fans kind of go overboard with stuff. I don't know if you know this. I don't know. Yeah, I know. Magnus sitting down. You can't see him, but I can. He's not John Cena. You can't see, but I can. They go overboard. So I had maybe 25% of our fan base didn't like it at all. I had some of our fan base saying they're not watching the pay-per-view this week. They were all excited because Walker Stewart, friend of the show, is doing the English commentary, which I'm super excited for because he's terrific. Mm-hmm. And
he was there on the show Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah. Him and Tom Fain, who were buddies of ours, they had to evacuate the area when Hazuki and Starlight Kid almost killed each other. But, there were some people like, no, I'm not watching. I'm like, why would you not watch this loaded show because of something? Now, and I mentioned this on the Marigold Standard, which came out because, as per usual, we record and then an angle happens. That's what always happens on the show. So we have two. Yeah, exactly. So so we're lucky now we do two podcasts. We're able to catch the news in a different podcast. But what are your feelings? Do you think it's a good angle? Do you like the angle? Are you of the mind of me where it's like all you're doing is putting more heat on Tekla and more sympathy on Natsupoi? Where do you stand with the whole Clark Connors thing?
I'm okay with it. I mean, I would, if you're saying I'm not going to watch the pay-per-view because of one angle, it's not like New Japan guys are going to come in and start running roughshod over the women's Stardom. That ain't going to happen. You know? At the best, maybe a mixed tag match, but I mean, that's probably pushing it. So I'm okay with it. They're heels. It was a heel move. He came in, he speared her, and then Tekla wins because of the cheating. So, like, I don't know. Well, why get mad over that? You know, is there going to be a Clark Connors and Natsupoi, steel cage match coming up? No. So, I wouldn't worry. Stardom's not going to be overtaken with guys winning titles or anything like that. It's just an angle, and it kind of Tekla fits the Bullet Club motif. So, I don't know. I like it. I have no problems with it. And, you know, like, maybe during the match, Clark will try to interfere again, and Natsupoi will get her, you know, come up. And so I wouldn't be worried. I was okay with it. It just adds to the story.
Here's something else that I'm not sure you're aware of. Next month in November, they're doing Historic Crossover, which we saw Historic Crossover 2 years ago where they did have mixed tag matches. Don't you think that they're probably starting to build here? Like, my guess would be Clark Connors tries to interfere, and whoever Natsupoi has as the one that basically, you know, whoever she's going to tag with at that show comes in, takes out Clark Connors, and then Natsupoi beats Tekla, and then a historic crossover where Clark Connors and Tekla versus Natsupoi and whoever she teams with. Like, to me, that was just a free advertisement. But again, hey, what do I know?
Yeah, build towards the pay-per-view, especially if you're going to do a bunch of mixed tag matches, and that's the, like, the theme of the pay-per-view across. Why not? Like, I don't know. If you have a problem with it, just I'd say chill out. It's okay. Nothing bad will happen.
Yeah. How about Hazuki versus Starlight Kid? Because this is built up pretty well with Starlight Kid basically telling Hazuki to snap out of it. Now she made her bed. Now she's got to lie in it because these two beat the crap out of each other all over Korakuen Hall. Where do you think that match is going to go? Like, who do you think? Who's your pick for that one?
That one's kind of tough. I can see that one going either way, but you kind of feel that they're putting more and more steam on Hazuki so she can eventually win the white belt, like maybe at Dream Queendom or maybe early next year. So I'm thinking Hazuki probably takes that, but man, that's going to be a good one.
My guess is, and Rob kind of backed me up on this, about 2 weeks ago, they started building towards a little Natsupoi Starlight Kid program, and they had a great rivalry for the High Speed Championship in 2021 and 2021. In 2022, it was the Izumi show, and rightfully so. Your favorite wrestler, Izumi. So now it's like, okay, now let's build them. It seems like that's the match maybe they're going for Dream Queendom, Natsupoi and Starlight Kid. My guess is Star, and you could be right. I got no problem with Hazuki winning anything because Hazuki's the people's champ. My guess is Starlight Kid wins this, and then she's the next challenger somewhere down the road. Again, maybe Sumo Hall at the end of the year for Natsupoi, because that would be a big match, a big money match between these two wrestlers that we know have fantastic chemistry together. And I think maybe you simmer Hazuki down, you build back up FWC with her and Koguma, because that's a really big story. Maybe they win the Goddess of Stardom Tag Tournament because that starts at the end of this month. And then this way you give something for Natsupoi to do, some successful defenses, and you give something Hazuki to do on the tag division. But I think ultimately the final story is Hazuki defeating Natsupoi to win the Wonder of Stardom Championship. I think you give Natsupoi a little bit of a run. I don't think that you pull the trigger on it yet. You got to keep Hazuki busy. And the FWC story is really, really interesting, again, considering the fact that Koguma really brought the fire back into Hazuki, and then Starlight Kid ignited it to a level we haven't seen before. And it was funny because after I watched that match, I text Rob. I said, I think Hazuki's off the pay-per-view. And he goes, what do you mean? I was like, rumor has it after a match with Starlight Kid, she got arrested for attempted murder. So that's our people's champion. Yeah, so those are the on the pay-per-view. Obviously, Saka Korora and Saya Kamatani is interesting because they literally built up Saka Korora in that match in Korakuen Hall. Rob is pretty much, and I'm not that far away on this, but we pretty much think that Saya Kamatani is going to win because to get her win back. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to have Saya Korora get another fluke win on Saya Kamatani, would it? Because it wouldn't hurt Saya Kamatani at all.
I don't think so, no. I would say that Saya is probably going to win, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, but I wouldn't. But when the match was first announced, I was like 90% that Kamatani is going to win. And I was like, maybe it's more like 65-70. So, we'll see, my friend. My man, before we get into this Tony Storm review, is there anything else that you want to talk about on the pay-per-view that have already aired? Go ahead, sir.
Real quick, I was going to say, how about Dump Matsumoto actually wrestling on this, hot off the heels of the Netflix one? I haven't watched. Have you watched any episodes of her documentary?
No, I got Netflix when the Daredevil stuff came out, like, what was it, 2017, 2018? And then once it switched over to Disney Plus, I dropped Netflix and went over to Disney Plus. I actually just finally cut the cord on DirecTV. I was paying $210 a month. Yes, I know. You know me, I'm a loyal person. $210 a month. We switched to YouTube TV. So between YouTube TV, Disney Plus, and Peacock, obviously I get Disney Plus because of the Star Wars shows and the Marvel shows, The Simpsons. Peacock I just get for WWE. And I think I'm going to add Netflix to the bundle, which will still probably take me to like $85, which I'll get more stuff for less money. So I think that's the way I'm going to go. I have not watched it. Dump Matsumoto, and I'm almost positive you did not see this because it's the only time me and Rob are actually negative on the podcast. Last year, they did a Halloween show where Dump Matsumoto and Zap wrestled Mina Shirakawa and Waka. And God bless Mina and Waka. They did their best to make that match entertaining. Dump Matsumoto can barely walk. And I get it. Oh. She is an old school 80s heel. She is in a drawing money heel. Now, and again, we did talk about this. And it's cool because There's a lot of praise for the Netflix show. There's a lot of shine on Dump Matsumoto. So it's going to help sell tickets. Now, is it going to be the Dragon Gate six-man we used to see at the Supercard of Honors for Ring of Honor back in the early 2000s? No, but the one good thing with this match was that match last year, it was just Dump Matsumoto and Zap versus Mean and Waka. You have Momo in the match. You have all these other moving parts. Konami's in the match. You have Mike on the other side. Mean on these. You have all these other moving parts where I think Dump Matsumoto is just going to draw tickets because people are going to be intrigued. They're like, oh, it, you know, this big doc series we're seeing on Netflix is based on her, who was arguably the greatest Joshi heel as far as drawing goes of all time. I mean, you watch those matches, and they're not like what Momo Watanabe's doing now as far as like star ratings. But at the same time, she's drawing 12, 13, 14,000 people, where Stardom's never come close to that number. So she knows to draw heel as a money and how to draw money as a heel. But you know from being in wrestling and being on shows with big stars that may be past their prime, but they're still very smart. You're very smart, whether you're in those matches or not, or you're on shows, you take that opportunity to pick their brain. And that's what's going to be great about this match is you're going to see Dump Matsumoto. It's going to sell tickets. And everybody in this match and in that locker room has the opportunity to pick Dump Matsumoto's brain about how to do stuff better, how to do this, how Momo can be a better drawing heel, how Ruwaka can be a better drawing heel, how Mike can get more sympathy as a babyface because of what Dump Matsumoto did in the 80s and 90s as a terrorizing heel. So there's that big opportunity where, again, this match is something at the end of the, you know, when we're reviewing this show next week, myself and Rob, we're not going to be saying, boy, howdy, you know, Dump Matsumoto lit the world on fire. But at the same time, everybody in that match has the opportunity to get better because they can sit under the learning tree of one of the greatest Joshi heels, arguably the greatest Joshi heel of all time, in Dump Matsumoto. So that is going to be really interesting.
Yeah, and it's smart to why not cash in because, you know, the Netflix documentary is hot. Why not? And it's not like they're, you know, Mike is losing to her or anything like that. It's, you know, it's having her on the show. And she's probably not going to do as good as Aja Kong did in the tag match with Tam.
That
was actually good. But, it's cool to have her on the show. I just thought that was really cool that they're having her on and putting her in a 12-man or 12-woman tag, I should say.
Yeah, you're taking advantage of all the steam, and I'm all for that. Again, you're drawing tickets. You're going to have more people come to the show because she's on it, and maybe some new eyes on Star. Maybe somebody that's like, oh, yeah, I used to watch Dump Matsumoto in the 80s and 90s. You know, hey, I'll go get a ticket. And then like, wow, who's this Azumi? Who's this Shuri? Who's this Micah? Who's this Mina? I mean, it's a good – if you draw, say, 50 extra tickets, I'm just using this for example, to Stardom that have never really seen Stardom before because Dump Matsumoto's there, how many of those 50 extra people are going to love what they see? Probably at least 20, 30, maybe even all 50. So it's a good opportunity to get more. And again, you know from indie promoters that are like, I'm going to book a Matt Cardona on my show where I usually draw 300 to my wrestling shows, but Matt Cardona is going to bring in 500. And then because those extra people, they love what they saw at a certain indie show. So now instead of drawing 300, they're drawing 400 every show because even though Matt Cardona is not back, they like what they saw with Andy Hedder or Sean Carr or, you know, a Joey Image or whoever. So it's like it's smart business. You know, it's smart business.
Mm-hmm. No problems with it.
Yes, absolutely, sir. Okay, my man. Well, hey, we're 20 minutes into this. I guess let's get into this. Yes, and of course, you know, it's always great talking to Andy, catching up on Stardom. And again, this is a Tony Storm-themed episode. There's only five matches or maybe four and a half to talk about. So I did want to get your thoughts on the current status of Timeless Tony Storm in Stardom. So this is a complete Tony Storm episode. But yes, we are reviewing Tony Storm's run as World of Stardom champion, the abrupt run, the run that I don't think was supposed to happen. And we'll get into it. She has three successful title defenses, 258 days, and she wrestles on a few different continents because there was one match that happened here in the good old United States of America. But Andy Hedder, we go to our very first match, the five-star Grand Prix special, the 24th of September, 2017. Tony Storm winning the five-star Grand Prix in 2017. Not only that, but she did win the Cinderella tournament as well. The only wrestler in Stardom history to win the five-star and the G1 in the same year. Tony Storm cashes in, taking on one Mayu Iwatani. And you know me, partner, I do not like watching matches that I know going in somebody gets hurt. I never watched the match with Hayabusa breaks his neck. I never watched the match where Misawa passed away. That's not the way I am. However, I am a professional, so I did this for this episode. However, this injury compared to some of the other injuries that I know that has happened is nowhere near as bad as what happened to Hayabusa. Even in the even in the Dark Side of the Ring episode, FMW, when they're getting ready to show it, I literally put my head down. And Amber likes watching those Dark Sides. And she's like, what are you doing? I said, I've never seen this before. And Hayabusa was my gateway into Japanese wrestling. I saw him wrestle. And I'm like, what's this? What's this? And I got into the algebra. Anywho, yeah, Hayabusa is my gateway into everything that I love about Japanese wrestling. But what I'm trying to say, folks, is I don't like watching matches where wrestler gets hurt. I never seen this match before. There's not much to it. 2 minutes, 20 seconds. Yeah. Mayu does she hits an arm drag and she goes for that basement drop kick and she just lands wrong, comes down, dislocates her elbow, and the ref calls for the bell. Toni Storm is your new World of Stardom champion. Again, we never got clarification from our friends that worked at Stardom at the time, but I'm pretty sure this was not supposed to happen. My guess was that Mayu was supposed to get the win here, but I mean, what can you do? What can you do? I have no rating on this match for obvious reasons. Let's say you, buddy. What did you think about everything that went down? And do you think the ref made the right call calling for the bell and in awarding the match and the championship to Toni Storm?
Yeah, so I'm right with you. I gave no rating as well because it's only 2 minutes and 20 seconds, and that's adding on some time. Because anyway, they did some back and forth, arm drag, drop kick, and that's when Mayu gets hurt there. And then you could tell, like, she's screaming. It's like, yeah, she's really in pain. They go out, and they show, like, the ref, and then the ref announces that she can't continue. And you kind of see Rossi, like, making the immediate decision of, I guess I'm going to give the belt to Toni. So I don't think she was going to win it here, but obviously they were heating her up, but she won the 5-star and the Cinderella tournament. So she probably was going to win it. And then they kept saying in commentary, too, in the English ones, that she had a very busy schedule at the time. So I think, like, that's why the title run probably didn't last as long, because she was so busy. She was also Progress champion and SWA champion at the same time, and then she lost them towards the end of this run. But still, like, I don't know. I don't know if I would have did it. I probably would have just gave the match a draw and then said, we will, you know, we'll do this down the line when Mayu's healed. But maybe he thought, oh, Mayu's really hurt and she's going to be out for a while, and I was going to maybe give the belt to Toni anyway in a month or two, so why not give it to Toni now? So it was a surprise. I'm sure Toni was surprised the most out of anybody. And I don't know. I don't probably know what I would have did. I probably would have said draw. We'll come back to this in a couple months. But hey, it started this run that we're about to talk about. So I mean, it was cool and cool for Toni's story, but it's bad for Mayu. But she goes back.
Yeah, you look back on it, if they would have ran it back or if they had to vacate the title because of Mayu's injury, because you no one knew really how bad their injury was. You never know until you get, you know, a doctor's look at it. But you like kind of look back at it, you know, whether good, bad, or indifferent, the fact that this World of Stardom Championship was on Toni Storm to me adds more value. Toni Storm obviously went over to NXT UK. She won the second ever Mae Young Classic. She was just about to ready to get her run on SmackDown with Charlotte. And then she was like, I'm out. And then, you know, she goes over to AEW. In my opinion, is the most successful women's wrestler in the five-year history. That is AEW. And then has created this complete character. So you kind of look at it like, well, and again, 258 days. And she only had 3 defenses because she was all over the place. So it wasn't long as far as matches go. But days go by. You're almost, you know, at a full year. You're 100 days away, you know, from a full year. Considering she only had 3 defenses because she was so busy. But when you go back and look at the names that have held that belt, you know, everybody knows who Io is. Everybody knows who Kairi is because she's on WWE TV. Again, if you're new to Stardom and you're looking back at some of those names, you're like, oh, Mako Satomura, I know her. Toni Storm may be the name that pops. Again, if you've never seen Stardom before and you're just getting into it, and we have there's a lot of people that are because of the exposure over here on AEW and more exposure with the English commentary we have coming up and hopefully further along. Where you're looking at the names and just like, okay, yo, I know who Io is. I know who Kairi is. Oh, I know who Toni Storm is. So it's like you can always go back and Toni Storm was the World of Stardom champion. And again, had some really good matches, which we'll get into. So again, good, bad, or indifferent. We don't have a DeLorean. We can't go back and change it. But again, on the positive side, we get a lot of really good matches here. And then Toni Storm, who's a big, big star, you know, one of the best women's wrestlers in the last, you know, 15, 20 years, has had claimed that she's held in my opinion, the most important belt in all of wrestling, the red belt, the World of Stardom Championship.
Yep. So that will
take us to October 21st, 2017, Stardom in Taipei City. This is now, and I was looking at the cage match, and I know I've seen this match before, but I was going through the cage match and I was like, this is listed on Stardom World as an SWA championship, but this is for the red belt. And I was like, that's really weird. So I went and watched it. Now, if you go back and watch this on Stardom World, it just says SWA Championship.
Yeah.
Toni Storm versus Bree Priestley. But once you get into it, Bree Priestley does say that she wants both belts on the line. Tony Storm agrees, and Rossi agrees. So if you're a completist like me and Andy Hedder, and you want to watch this complete run from Tony Storm, even though on the thumbnail it does say on 10/21/2017, it just says SWA Championship, it is made for the World of Stardom Championship. But she takes on one B Priestley, who winds up winning in 2 years the World of Stardom Championship, defeats B Priestley with a German suplex and a Storm Zero combination in 10 minutes and 15 seconds. I thought this was a really, really good match. Again, the fact that World of Stardom Championship matches seem to be a little closer to the 20-minute mark, maybe even a little over that. But the 10 minutes they had, I thought they told a really good story. B Priestley doesn't become she's a really good worker here. She doesn't become the super worker until she starts ramping up into that 2018-2019 World of Stardom Championship run. But still, regardless, this was a great match, some great back-and-forth stuff. I liked how once B is really putting the heat on Tony because she's working the heel, the crowd really heats up for Tony Storm, which is in a lot of these matches. Tony Storm's over in every single one of these matches. Bless you, my friend. I do like how Tony Storm does the deadlift German suplex. We get a kick and boot trade-off. Tony hits a buckle bomb and then a hip attack. She does this. I haven't seen her do this in a while, and I forgot she used to do this. And you might have to start stealing this, partner. She does the air raid crash, a.k.a. the kryptonite crunch, but she does it where she drops her opponent's neck over her knee, which is the safe part of the knee. So it is a safe move, but it looks really, really cool. And what I meant when I said to Andy does the air raid crash, the kryptonite crunch is one of his comeback moves. And I think it'd be really cool for him to do the – I just thought of a spot for you. You do it on the knee, and then you pick him back up and do it. Yeah, there you go. The Tony Storm special, we'll call that. Yeah. I might call that in the corner after I got my ass kicked and I'm laying there selling. I'm like, do the Tony Storm special.
I'm like, okay, got it. Yeah, that's like code word. I was going to say real quick, you know who else does that move quite a lot? Okada.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get 3-pound packs of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $2.99 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but we're not talking about Okada. We're talking about Tony Storm today, buddy. But yeah, a really cool stuff. I like how Tony Storm blocks the B driver from B Priestley. That's eventually, though, then B hits the Tree of Woe double stomp. Shout out to Kyrie with the Marine Spike there. B locks in the Rings of Saturn. However, Tony Storm is able to fight back. German suplex, Storm Zero combination for the three count. 10 minutes, 15 seconds. Andy Hedder, I had this at 4 stars. How about you, partner? What did you think of Tony Storm's V1?
So this match was actually in Taiwan, in Taipei City, and this crowd was really hot. It was a small building, but they were really into this. And this match, I thought was – I'm right with it. Maybe I give it about 3.75, a little bit lower, but I really enjoyed it. But first, I got to say, you know, my thing is the hair and the gear. How cool did B Priestley look here? She looked like a purple Melina from Mortal Kombat. She looked awesome.
Ooh, I like that reference, buddy. I like that reference.
But the gear aside, though, the match was very good. And like you said, everything that went over it. But I do like Tony using the German suplex and then right in, like, do that and then right into the Storm Zero. Sometimes it's German suplex, headbutt, and then Storm Zero. But yeah, this match, everything you said, I agree with. It was a very good match. But I give it 3.75. And enjoyed it.
There we go, my friends. There we go. So now we have a match in Japan, a match in Taiwan. Now we go to the West Coast of the good old United States of America. Rise 6 Brutality. This was not on Stardom World. At least I didn't search it because I don't think it would be on Stardom World. Was it on Stardom World? No. Okay, I didn't even look. I just saw that this was from Rise, and I know Rise has a whole bunch of matches on YouTube. So I literally just went on YouTube and typed in Tony Storm versus Mercedes Martinez, and it popped right up, and I sent it right over to you. So again, if you're completists like myself and Andy Hedder, this is free on YouTube. If you're still on the fence about subscribing to Stardom World, first of all, what are you doing? It's like $6.50 a month, but you want to see some Tony Storm. Yeah, and you want to see some Tony Storm action, this match is free on YouTube. You can watch it right from your smartphone. So we have Tony Storm's V2. We go to the United States of America. We go to December 1st, 2017, my best friend Jeff's birthday. How about that? In California, Tony Storm taking on one Mercedes Martinez. And it's Tony Storm that gets the win with the headbutt. Storm Zero combination, 15 minutes and 23 seconds. This was an excellent match. We had some great ground grappling to start. good back and forth action. Dave Prazak is on commentary, who does a phenomenal job, and he keeps talking about how they've been wanting to book Toni Storm for Shimmer. I literally picked up my phone about 2 hours after I watched this match, and I sent a message to a good friend, Allison Danger, who used to do a lot of the booking for Shimmer. And I said, did you by chance ever book Toni Storm for Shimmer? So I have not gotten back yet. Allison has not gotten back to me yet. She's a very busy person. So I don't think she was ever on the Shimmer show, because I watched a lot of the big matches with the stars that were on there. But she did basically say, because Dave Prazak was the owner and operator of Shimmer at the time, that she is an open invitation to wrestle in Shimmer. And I would love to see these two run it back maybe sometime in 2018 or I think in 2019. I think she was signed by WWE. But he did make mention that Mercedes is going to overpower Toni, and she did, and use those chops. So it was a nice chop form exchange between the two. Toni uses her experience to kind of get the advantage. Well, not experience, but I think Mercedes is wrestling longer than her. But basically uses her speed to get the advantage and hits not one but two of those low suicide dives. And this building in California erupts, very much like the building in Taiwan. By no means it was Madison Square Garden, but it felt like it was, because they were jam-packed and they were white hot for Toni Storm. Mercedes puts Toni Storm in the regal stretch. Mercedes hits two European uppercuts and two big chops. Toni comes back with the German suplex into the hip attack into the air raid crash. For a two count, Mercedes comes back with a huge choke bomb that scores her a two count. Toni hits counters her fisherman's buster with an inside cradle. And then Mercedes misses on a clothesline, and then we get the headbutt Storm Zero combination for the three count, 15 minutes, 23 seconds. Andy Hedder, I had this one at 4 stars for me. What about you, my man? Did you enjoy this?
Yes, I did. So we often agree on things, and I also had this right at 4 stars even. I thought this match was very good. And like you said, small arena, but man, they were into it. And when they did those two dives, you could see Rossi there off to the side, which was pretty cool. I was like, there he is. I liked when Mercedes had Toni in the corner, and she's giving the forearms. The crowd was counting in Spanish, and they kept going. She did like 15, and they kept going with her. I'm like, wow, how about that? And then Dave does say, like, he's like, I'll have Toni Storm and Shimmer anytime, as long as I can book her. And you know who the girl was that was doing commentary with Dave?
No, who I was thinking it was Allison Danger, but I'm like, that's not her. Who was it?
No, I didn't get it. I was like, she sounds familiar, but I couldn't get it. And then right then he says, thank you, Deonna, for joining me in commentary. So Deonna Purrazzo, because I would assume that's the only Deonna.
Oh, yeah. One Deonna Purrazzo, who I did get a chance to meet not once but twice. And I do the always whenever I meet anybody that's ever wrestled in Stardom after I ask them certain questions. My final question is, who hits the hardest out of anybody? Now, she's been in Stardom for quite some time. She would be another one that I would love to see, because we have that AEW Stardom relationship. She would be another one I'd love to see back in Stardom. And she told me it was Hazuki. So, and that was Hazuki back like in 2017, 2018. So can you imagine Hazuki now? So most people say Shuri, Mayu, Julia, Momo wants to know. Shuri's usually the top answer we get in Momo, but she did say Hazuki. But I did not know that. So good, kudos to you, Andy Hedder. Kudos to you. But go ahead, continue, sir.
Yeah, but I liked the German and then the hip attack, and like you said, and then the air raid neck breaker. And then there was a nice Sayo suplex by Mercedes at one point that looked really good. I thought these girls work really good together. There was a power bomb that they kind of turned into a short arm close, like a little botchy, but still like the cover up was like nobody knew. And then, like you said, the headbutt, the Storm Zero, and the 1-2-3. This was a good match. And like, can you imagine, like, all these people probably paid $10 to $15, maybe $20 at the most, and they seen this match? Like, that's awesome. So, yeah, I'm right there. 4.0, that was really good.
Yeah, and I think Mercedes, now that I mentioned that relationship with AEW and Stardom and some of the wrestlers we'd like to see come over. Obviously, Anna Jay, she's gotten light years better just in that little tour that she did with Stardom, and everybody's noticing even the footwork. I think Mercedes is part of the AEW roster. I think she signed to like one of those level zero or level one contracts where she's doing like the Ring of Honor, but has the freedom to go anywhere else as long as like she makes whatever AEW is doing her top priority. And again, I could be wrong. If I am, let me know. I would love to see her in Stardom. I would love, I think she's done a few shows. If Rob was here, he'd be able to tell me. He would be able to tell me in 2 seconds. I think she's done some shots in Stardom, but I think Mercedes Martinez, I think her and current day Stardom would be great. Like her versus Mina, her versus Micah. That would be great. Just let them go. Cork and Hall, 16, 17 minutes. Just let them go. Obviously her and Mayu. I mean, that's a cheat code. Anybody can wrestle Mayu, but like Mercedes versus Saida, Mercedes versus Zena. You know, get some more, highlight some more like that mid-card talent that you're starting to push up, I think would be great. Yeah, the sky's the limit. And again, we'll probably find out some stuff at the end of the year because we have that Wrestle Dynasty show coming up on the 5th of January. So my guess is you're going to start seeing more and more of the guy Kikujin talents, as Rob told me to call it, coming over to Japan, maybe for that Dream Kingdom show. I'd be shocked if we see Toni Storm again on that show. Mercedes Moné would be my guess. I think she's going to be on that show because you're going to want to do about 3,000 people. She's going to help draw tickets. And then who knows on these spot shows coming up. But it's going to be interesting times, my friend, because I always say Christmas is my favorite time of the year. And literally from right after the holidays, you get the big Stardom show at the end of the year. And then I know at Marigold, they have a big show on the 3rd of January. It looks like it's going to be Utami Hayashizaki versus Sari. Then we have Wrestle Kingdom, Wrestle Dynasty. And then I think there's a whole bunch of just random shows with Stardom and Marigold. So it's a good thing I take like that extra time off work because even though I'm not going to be on official work, there's going to be like maybe only 2 days where I can sleep in because I'll be up watching these shows. But really interesting. If you have not done so, Andy Hedder, as always, I give you homework. So you mentioned Deonna Purrazzo. Momo Watanabe versus Deonna Purrazzo for the Wonder of Stardom Championship. If you go back and watch that run that Momo has, and folks, we'll get back to Toni Storm. Momo's matches, they're Momo. They're hard-hitting. They're great. They're title matches, mostly main events. They have that really good crescendo. Where the Deonna Purrazzo match is a little different because Deonna breaks down Momo's arm and her leg. Like, it's really old-school 70s, 80s. Working a limb. And we're also, you don't need to write this down because it's going to be on your Patreon feed soon. Our alternate commentary coming up here in just 1 week's time will be Jamie Hayter challenging Momo Watanabe for the Wonder of Stardom. There's another name I would love to, obviously, AEW just brought her back. They probably have some plans for her. I would love to see Jamie Hayter back into a Stardom ring sometime in 2025 because she is technically, her and Bea Priestley are still technically the Goddess of Stardom tag team champions. They never lost those belts because they had to vacate them due to COVID. So, interesting thing. But anywho, back to Toni Storm. Toni Storm taking on one Mayu Iwatani. We go to Dream Slam in Nagoya. We go back to the same venue where Mayu Iwatani got injured. So this is I know you're a big fan of Jungle Kiona. This is what we call the unofficial Jungle Kiona building because this is the building where the crowd is white hot for her. This is the building that she's had some of her best matches. She challenged Mayu for the red belt back in 2020 in this building. She challenged Momo Watanabe for the Wonder of Stardom Championship back in this building. Her and Kunami did win the Goddess of Stardom Tag Team Championships in this building. And since it's topical, the finals of the Dream Star Grand Prix from Marigold were just in this building last week. And Jungle Kiona was actually backstage. Yeah, there was pictures of her with Nanai Takahashi and Rossi Ogawa. Fingers crossed that we see a little bit of a return for Jungle Kiona, maybe in Marigold. I mean, was back there, I mean, it would be any of the brass at Marigold would be like, hey, Jungle, you don't have to come back all the time. Why don't you come back for a show here or there? I know I would love it. I know our fans would love it. Andy Hedder, I know you're a fan of Jungle Kiona. I don't think anybody would say no to that.
No, I'd love to see it. So that'd be cool. Even if it's only, three matches a year.
We'll take it. We'll take it. It's more than the zero we've been getting because we love us some Jungle Kiona. I know she's been having problems with her knees over the past few years. But anywho, let's get back on track as per usual. I am all over the place. Mayu, we go to April Fool's Day, 4/1/2018, Dream Slam in Marigold, in Nagoya as Toni Storm, her V3 versus Mayu Iwatani. It's Toni Storm getting the win with a buckle bomb and not one, but two Storm Zeros, 13 minutes, 24 seconds. This was a terrific match. I thought this was smart for Stardom to run this back, considering the fact that Mayu never got pinned for this belt. So you can do one or two things with the booking. You go back and put the championship on Mayu, or you make Toni Storm's championship run mean a little bit more, having her actually get the clear win over somebody that she did win on a beat for the belt, but on a technicality. So I thought this was a really good match. You got some fast-paced action here. They do the spot where Mayu goes for the basement dropkick.
Yeah.
And they play out that. Tony's like, no, don't do it. And Mayu, God bless her, soul gullible, stops. Then Toni kicks her, snap nares, and then Toni does the Mayu dropkick. And then she starts building her heat onto Mayu's arm. Toni is loved and cheered in all these matches except this one because it's Mayu. So I think they did a good job making Toni a little bit of a heel. And then as the match is really starting to build up, they kind of go like tweener. But at the same time, as much as they love Toni Storm, it's Mayu. Mayu Iwatani hits a big dive. Mayu with a Joshi dropkick for a two count. Maya then hits a second rope double stomp and then follows it up with her beautiful, very underrated frog splash. That scores her a two count. Mayu stops a Storm Zero. She has a big head kick and a German suplex. Toni Storm eventually hits the Storm Zero but can't follow up because of Mayu's blitzing offense in that last sequence, which I thought was really cool. Toni Storm hits a hip attack and the air raid crash on the knee for a two count. I thought that was great. You get some back and forth action. Toni Storm hits the Storm Zero, but only for a one count, which I thought was great. We get a top rope fight between the two, which Toni Storm eventually wins. Toni Storm hits a buckle bomb and she hits the Storm Zero, hangs on, and hits a second one for the three count. That was the exact same way she defeated Yoko Bido in the finals of the 2017 five-star Grand Prix with the hits the Storm Zero and hangs on, hits multiple versions of it, which I think is really, really cool. You have a big match.
I like that.
You know, in a big main eventer like we had Yoko Bito, like we had here with Mayu, in order to win, I need to hit this move multiple times. Why my opponent's down? She hit it early in the match. Mayu kicked out at one. Here she hits one and then hangs on, you know, for another one. I like how the Storm Zero opens up the door for her to hit another one and to put Mayu away. 13 minutes, 24 seconds. 4.25 stars for me, my friend. What do you say about this match, good sir?
This match was really good, and again, we agree. I gave it 4.25 as well. So, yeah, the match was very good. When Mayu hit that double stomp and the frog splash, I wrote that down. That was a really nice thing. There was one part where Mayu goes for a tombstone and then turn reverses, but then Mayu turns it into like a backslide. I thought that was a cool spot. And then, like you said, when Toni hits the Storm Zero, Mayu kicks out. I thought that was it. So I was like, oh, it's over. Like, she kicked out. So then, like, when Toni hits the two, you're like, is Mayu going to kick out of this one? So it builds a little more suspense. So, like, even though she, like, one couldn't do it, now two. Is two going to do it? But then two does it. But, yeah, this was a great match. And this is probably what we would have got the first time had Mayu not got hurt. And you like you said with the teasing of the drop kick that Mayu wants to immediately go for that. Toni's like, no, don't do it. And then Toni does it. And then Mayu, yeah. Toni does the roll up then, but you have to start playing the heel for this match. But yeah, this match was very good. So I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, really good stuff. And now we go to the changing of the guard. We go to Yokohama on the 9th of June, 2018. Toni Storm taking on one Kagetsu. You want to talk about building the drama. This is the great things about Kagetsu, especially as the world of Stardom champion, these big matches. There's so many near falls, so many kickouts. I always say Kagetsu is the greatest working heel in the history of Stardom based on a few reasons. But one of the reasons, you know, I hate this. When you cheat in front of the referee, you need to be DQ'd. Kagetsu does a great job pulling the referee or knowing when to signal the other members of a Wedotai in the ring to be able to distract the referee where she can do the mist or some of the cheating. So she does a great job building heat. There's so, and I've seen this match before. I actually just watched this match earlier today. And I remember what the finish was, but I forgot how drawn out the finish was and how meticulous it was and how it's just like they built Toni. It literally took everything twice over to defeat Toni Storm in this match. Even though Toni Storm ate the L here, she looked like a monster doing it. Like there was all this cheating that had to happen. There was so much. I mean, the match starts out, and let's get into it. It starts out with some great ground grappling. Toni Storm really targets on Kagetsu's arm. I thought that was really good where Toni Storm's trying to break down the arm of Kagetsu so she can't do the choke slam. Maybe she can basically take out some of the power that is Kagetsu using the Death Valley Bomb and the sit-out DVD. So I thought that was really well. Toni Storm early on hits the hip attack and just starts throwing those Germans. Kagetsu comes back with those blitzing kicks. Like the way she snaps those kicks, it's really, really something good. Toni Storm hits the low suicide dive, not once but twice. Crowd really warming up for Toni Storm. She really knows how to use those low suicide dives. She knows where to put them and she gets the most out of them. She hits that air raid crash on the knee for a two count. She tries for the Storm Zero. However, the ref gets distracted. Toni Storm gets misted from Kagetsu. Not one, not two, but three Death Valley bombs only for a two count. I mean, that would have been a great finish, the cheating, and then one of Kagetsu's secondary finishers. Three times in a row. I mean, yeah, this really, really does a great job of Kagetsu really building the drama in Toni Storm as well. Kagetsu then hits the sit-out DVD, and then she goes to the top rope, hits the 450, known as the Uedo Coaster. That was 2.9. I thought that was great. Toni Storm is able to come back with that brutal headbutt that she does into the Storm Zero, but very much like in the match with Mayu, too much damage is done. She can't follow up. They go back and forth with a series of brutal kicks. Toni Storm then uses a schoolboy or a schoolgirl to go then back to – then she goes – she uses that to transition to the stretch muffler to go to the knee over onto Toni's – or onto Kagetsu. Some brutal head kicks then back and forth. The ref, we see a ref bump, a second missed, because you can't just do it once. You got to do it twice. Yeah, yeah. She gets the DVD bomb and the Oedo coaster for the second time. 19 minutes, 24 seconds, the longest match in this run. And I liked how the last like 7 or 8 minutes really set the tone of just these big, big, like all Japan 90s and like the way the New Japan has been built around like Tanahashi, Okada, with those last 6 or 7 minutes, or you're building to a big, big finish. And that's what really this was for, yeah, about 5, 6 minutes, something like that, where you thought the match was over one time, two times, three times, but it wasn't. Tony Storm kept fighting back. And anytime Tony Storm looked like she was going to build that momentum to go for maybe that German suplex headbutt, Storm Zero combination. It was the cheating of a Oedo tie, not in front of the referee. It was two different colors of mist. But ultimately, though, it was the 450, the Oedo coaster, that does Tony Storm in and crowns Kagetsu as the new World of Stardom champion. Again, 19 minutes, 24 seconds. This is another 4.25 stars match for me, my friend.
Wow. I like this one just a little bit more. I gave it 4.5. I thought it was awesome. When Kagetsu started hitting the three Death Valley bombs, which I looked it up and I think it's called the Ibisu Itoshi. I could be wrong.
Yes, you're absolutely right, because I've asked Rob a few times, because I did a Kagetsu World of Stardom Championship run. So that I asked and he told me 3 or 4 times. I just couldn't pronounce it. I just called it the Death Valley bomb. So Andy had it the very first time. He got it right. Good job, brother. We're proud of you. That's why he's the third man.
Yeah, third man, brother. Yeah, so she hits that three times. I'm like, oh, it has to be over. And then kick out. And then it's like the Oedo coaster, the 450. And then the fourth time, like, well, now it's definitely over. I know she wins the belt, so this is it. No, it's not it. So I was like, this is awesome. So not only was this match my favorite of the bunch, I just thought, wow, Kagetsu was so good. And it was so good. Then the stretch muffler spot that you said, and then Kagetsu gets the ropes, and again the second poison miss. And that is anytime you spit miss, right? First one is usually green, then the second one always has to be blue, purple, black. You gotta spit a different color, red. You can't spit green miss twice. That's a known thing. You can only do it once, and then you have to bring it up from the whatever it comes from, the mutant powers that makes the poison miss has to be a different color. So just watch any match, no one does the same color twice. Unless they do, you can do green, red, and then green again if you do the third time, but that's very rare. Anyway, yes. So I believe there's some matches probably with Muda or maybe even Tajiri. Yeah. Yes, there has to be. So anyway, yeah, the Ibisu drop or the Ibisu Otoshi, and then the Oedo coaster for 1, 2, 3, and then Kagetsu wins the title. I thought this match was great. And like I said, it was my favorite of the bunch of these Tony Storm matches, 4.5 stars.
Yeah, I agree. It was my favorite. Again, just if we're going to give a quick ranking, it's going to be the Kagetsu matches 1, the Mayu match, the actual match 2, then probably the Mercedes matches 3, and then the B is 4, and obviously the match with Maya. That would be my ranking. I'm pretty sure you're probably right there as well. Yeah,
I'm right with you.
Now, folks, if you're keeping track at home, this is this one's in the back. All we got to do is save this one, and we'll send that off to Rob Goodwin himself, and this bad boy will be edited. So if you're keeping track at home, we have a Tony Storm World of Stardom Championship round that ends with Kagetsu. Kagetsu World of Stardom Championship round for our Patreon listeners. That is up in your Patreon feed, which she loses to Bea Priestley. Bea Priestley World of Championship round, which I did about 2 years ago, is on your Patreon feed, which she loses to Mayu Iwatani. Mayu Iwatani, second World Stardom Championship run, is up on your Patreon feed, which she loses to Hitami Hayashista. Andy Hedda, guess what happens? I have a complete World of Stardom Championship run from Hitami Hayashista, who loses to Shuri. Guess what? Shuri, World of Stardom Championship run. Yes, now we go to Julia. Obviously, the Julia run, it's just 3 matches. So, I mean, maybe I'll do like a quick 15, 20-minute one on that one. The Tam one's not that long. So, yeah, that's right. There's an EO. The EO V10 and V14 is on there as well. So I think out of all the World Stardom Championship runs, I have done a review for every one except for maybe 5 or 6. So that's the Alpha Female one and the Natsuko Toro one. I might do that one together because they're V0s. They're V0s. So again, I'm a completist. Maybe I'll do those ones together. And they're the big bad heels. They're two of the biggest, baddest, like legit heels.
There you go. The company, that's only 2 matches.
Yeah, there we go, my man. Hey, we're completists. We might get it up there. So, brother, that was really good. That was excellent. Thank you for joining me on, I guess, what is this, celebration of the timeless one. Tony Storm back into Stardom. Yes. Excellent. My friend.
Not only my favorite woman wrestler in the United States, but probably my favorite wrestler over all of the United States. And then Bryan Danielson is probably number 2. So, in the U.S. No, we're not counting Stardom.
Sure.
That's assuming. But
My wife watches AEW with me every week on Wednesdays, which is kind of funny. I mentioned this last week. You'd find this funny. We got home from, we went to back to where my parents are, like an hour away, Old Forge, for Lily's birthday. I had a bunch of pizza. I had two beers and I had Amber made. Oh, let me tell you about this dessert. Amber made like this pumpkin cream cake and she drizzled caramel over it and then chopped up walnuts and put it on there. So I had about a half a piece of that, drove an hour home. Yeah. So now drove an hour home and you know how busy my days are. We're getting up at like 4 o'clock for the gym and then work. Mm-hmm. And so drove an hour home. As soon as I sat down, Danielson versus Okada started. What a great way to end my phenomenal day. You know what I mean? Got to celebrate Lily's 20th birthday and had a beer with my dad, my best friend, you know, got to be obviously with my wife, my mom, you know, my daughter, who I love them all so much. And now I'm ending it with Danielson versus Okada. They lock up and Amber's like, you're not making it through this match. I'm like, it's Danielson and Okada. And the next thing I know, the match was over. The match was well done. And Modern Family, where I watch it, Modern Family comes on afterwards. It was the end of Modern Family. So I did not get a chance to watch it. Maybe tonight. I didn't watch any of the show. I'll try to watch it maybe tonight. Now that I have YouTube TV, I can put it on my iPad while my wife watches her shows. Maybe that's what I'll do, you know, when we get done. But regardless, my man, my wife is a big fan of Toni Storm. She loves the character. She loves the gimmick. Loves her as a wrestler. So she's right there with you. I mean, you have her as your favorite, maybe overall wrestler over here in the United States. Yes. Which that I didn't know. So that's really, really cool. Fingers crossed. We are a few weeks away from New York Comic Con. They're adding more and more guests to the guest list. Swerve Strickland did get announced. And Booker T. So they're starting. We've noticed that's always the last week they add the wrestlers. So fingers crossed that Toni Storm gets announced. But that'll be right up your alley. But brother, I guess without any further ado, let's give our plugs and let's call this one an episode.
All right. So if you want to find me and talk about Toni Storm, go ahead on the old Twitter. I am at Get Some Header, pun intended. And on Facebook and Instagram, really easy. Just type in Andy Header and I come right up and you can contact me about whatever it is that you may want to contact me about. And also, thank you to anyone who is a Stardom Patreon subscriber. I appreciate every single one of you. Thank you for dropping your hard-earned money to listen to us talk about Stardom. And now on the main cast, or the main feed of the podcast, I thank you too. Even though you may not listen to podcasts or the Patreon, I still thank you anyway. So,
And plug that show that you're on for AXW that we always sponsor you on. I said, just got the email. I have to get the sponsorship. But obviously, we sponsor Andy Header every show, and rightfully so, the Stardom Cast does. So we may as well, since we sponsor you, we may as well give that a plug. So go ahead, brother.
Yeah. I totally forgot. It's not this weekend, but it is October 12th right there in Oryxburg, Pennsylvania at the Memorial Building with the big tank out front. It will be me in action, sponsored by the Stardom Podcast, in a three-way action, me versus Malik Devante and Brando Lee. So I'm really looking forward to it. It should be a high-speed title match. Well, not title match, but high-speed type match. It will be this one. So that is, again, October 12th, when it starts at 6:05, get it, and Oryxburg, PA, just AXW on anything, on Facebook, on Twitter. I don't think there's an official AXW wrestling website, but there is. That's the website, axwwrestling.com. But check it out. It's I think the front row is like $30, and then you get a cheap seat for $15. So it's a good time. It's a great show, and come see me in action, three-way action, as high speed as it will get for AXW.
There you go. Andy Header may do the Izumi sushi, which I did teach you wrong. She that second leg, it doesn't go over. It's the arm. I noticed that.
Oh,
yeah.
I watched that too. Yes. I'm going to try to, you know what? I wrestled this weekend. I wanted to do the tequila shot. I actually wrestled Jay Flyer, but I was like, we got thrown in a match like last minute. And I was like, I probably let this one go. So I didn't want to explain to him, well, here's the video. Here's the tequila. So I'm going to probably do the tequila shot in Oryxburg.
There you go. Shout out to Jay Flyer. Really good wrestler. Really good dude. Folks, questions, comments, anything you need from me. Suggestions. Matt Turner OF on the Instagram and or the Twitter. Obviously, if you're a part of our Patreon, we thank you. And if you wanted to have suggestions for me and Andy Header to do a tag team breakdown, what show was better? I mean, we're open to suggestions. I do have an idea for what show is better. I'll probably be sending that to you either later today or tomorrow. But regardless, a lot of great stuff. Again, if you're not a member of the Patreon, absolutely fine. We completely understand. We appreciate your support in the show. If you have not done so, go over to Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star review and a comment. Really helps the algorithm out. The only person we have yet to beat this year is The Undertaker. We're trying to beat The Undertaker. Yeah, we're coming for the dead man. So if you can do that, folks, we greatly appreciate it. Again, folks, questions, comments, suggestions, Matt Turner OF on the Instagram and or the Twitter. The email address is thestardomcast22@gmail.com. And folks, that's going to wrap it up for another bonus episode of the Stardom Cast, celebrating all things Toni Storm this week, her return to the world of Stardom. Folks, we greatly appreciate your support. Can't do it without you. It's like I always say, it's just not my podcast. It's our podcast. Because all of us together, everyone's different, everyone's special.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get three-pound packs of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $2.99 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.